I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence. Behind the headlines. From someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thank you so much for being here on this Saturday morning. Listen, we have a lot to break down. We're still discussing the Nancy Guthrie case. Until this case is solved, I'm going to continue doing these morning reports. First of all, I want to address the fact that I was able to get rid of that crazy banner that was behind me in a lot of the slides. I've had people comment about this text box that appears below me. Listen, I was futzing with that for about 7-8 minutes. That's why I'm late to you this morning. I can't get it off. Please forgive me for having it there. I'll work on it today and maybe speak with somebody who is some sort of StreamYard expert. I have no idea why all of a sudden this thing popped up. And it hasn't been on all of my lives. All of a sudden, it's coming up here. So just forgive me. I'm sorry. My expertise is in law enforcement and in violent crime. It's definitely not in StreamYard banners, I can tell you that, but working on it. Anyway, thank you all for being here. Again, a lot to break down. Nancy Guthrie went missing again, purportedly, and we're going to talk about this, on February 1st, after she was late to, she'd like to go and instead of, apparently after COVID, she didn't want to go to church anymore, but still was religious and still wanted to go to church. So she met with a small group and they would watch church from, you know, the comfort of a private home. And that's when she was initially reported missing. That's the story we heard. Now, I got to tell you, and please, Coffendaffer FBI, I'm not trying to give a plug. It's just that I was unable to import this morning. I really wanted to import it. I'll work on it. I'll get it imported. But the bottom line is, everyone, I just was rewatching all of these press conferences of Sheriff Nanos, because I always believe whenever you're doing a case, and we're doing it on this side of things, but on the other side of things, you like to go back and revisit just to make sure you didn't miss anything. Thus, the crime scene situation. Thus, while I'll never agree that they took down and didn't protect that crime scene. But nevertheless, in one of these tapes early on, it's the tape. And if you go back and look on my Twitter X, you'll see it for those who have that. Unbelievable. He literally says that we, Pima County, went by ourselves Saturday night to the crime scene. My jaw dropped. Then I also saw another report that somebody sent in response to my report about this, that, yeah, if you look at the paperwork, the date listed is January 31st in terms of her being missing. Very, very disconcerting. Unless he misspoke, he is, as we've seen, communication and speaking is not his forte. Let's just say that. So this could be an incompetent message he sent. And maybe he really meant Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, but he said Saturday night. Crystal clear. And that later the FBI, he says words to the effect they contacted him, not he contacted them, about getting involved. And then after that, he's working, you know, with his partners, blah, 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 blah. That's a key piece. Let's hope it's a misspeak, everyone. Let's hope this is a misspeak. If this is not a misspeak combined with a report that has been inadvertently reported as January 31st instead of February 1st. Now, you might be asking, how can this happen? Well, I will tell you that if somebody is believed to go missing right in the middle of the night, sometimes people just make that mistake. Look, we've all said things like that, right? Oh, that happened last night. Well, it wasn't really last night. It was after midnight last night, right? But people refer to it as that, you know? So that could be the case. It could be the case that it's just absolutely a misspeak. He meant the next day, that she really went missing, but that's not what he said. He said, we went there. I don't want to belabor this, but it's bothering me. It should be bothering all of us. I didn't see him clarify that ever. Again, I'm just perusing, you know, different media that's out there from him specifically, because I really like to stick to the facts on this case that's running crazy on social media. So, but I will say at the end of this video, we are going to get into a non-Occam's razor theory. I've touched on it already, but I'm not a non-Occam's razor. I'm Occam's razor. You might ask, what is Occam's razor? It just basically states that the most likely, the most probable, the most in-your-face solution is the solution. You don't need to be looking at crazy conspiracies and all this other, because the facts before you will lead to the likely perpetrator in a case. And I've always run my cases like that. I've always seen it happen like that, is how I should say. When I say run my cases, I go down logical routes. I don't ever say, oh, you know what, I'm just going to run over here with a crazy theory that, you know, whatever. some Norwegian guy flew in and happened upon the house. You know, I'm not going to go with some crazy theories. But this is a very interesting case. We'll get into that later. I want to talk about a new development from last night that was reported by a local reporter that there were two gloves found less than a mile from the house. She posted pictures. I posted all this on Twitter. And the gloves look, again, surprisingly similar. Of course, all black gloves are going to look kind of surprisingly similar unless they're a different color. But again, this pair of gloves had blood on them, according to the report. According to the pictures I saw, you can see blood kind of on a rock next to them. Of course, I think this is legitimate and needs followed up on. It could be many other reasons, but since we're in the middle of this case and they took the glove 2 miles away and had it tested, they need to take these two gloves and have them tested. According to the reporter who says this is according to the people who found it, they did call into the FBI tip line and they were on hold 45 minutes. That is unacceptable, but I'm going to tell you why it happens. It happens when, even if you have 50, you know, intake personnel, support people taking these calls, with the thousands of calls people are saying are coming in, there's just no way to handle that volume without calls taking time and lines getting clogged. So that's going to happen. So after that, then they called the Pima County tip line and experienced a similar issue. So then they called 911 and somebody responded right away. I thought that was great. So maybe if you do have something you feel is hot, you should respond right away. I also want to talk about the fact that a Pima County spokesperson came on and said, listen, do not send us tips unless you've sort of vetted them, or, you know, just don't send us anything. I think, again, this is such horrible misspeaking. I think what she was trying to say is, listen, if you have a philosophy about the case, if you have conjecture about the case, if you think it could be this, don't call. Imagine the amount of time they are going to have to spend on the phone with somebody calling up with just, hey, I think because of this, this happened. And they're going to have to write it up and send it in because that's what the FBI does. That if you call up, they're going to document it. And just don't do that. I would never do that. No law enforcement, no anyone with any sense would ever call up. And my understanding is the tip line is getting clogged with a lot of that. Here's my theory. Here's my thing. That's what they're talking about. I think poor messaging. But what they mean is, nothing is too small in terms of something you saw, something you overheard, something that, you know, a vehicle you saw, a discussion that you heard in McDonald's where people were talking about their neighbor who they thought was up in the middle of the night and thought they saw a body go in the house. Nothing like that. Keep all that coming, even if it's weird and odd and strange. But theories about the case, there's no room for that in calling the tip line. Want to talk about, and I meant to talk about this. Nope, not that one. We are going to talk about that one. I have that up here for a reason. Oh, I hope this didn't go off of here. It did. All right. Well, here it is. Oh, here it is. I know what that's up there. Sorry, guys. Okay. This is the one I want to talk about. I should have put this up yesterday. I wanted to keep that live short because I had a commitment and I thought I had everything in. I forgot to put this in. So I think it's very interesting, of course, that law enforcement said, listen, if you live within 2 miles of this and you have any video regarding, you know, anything that you find suspicious, send it in. You can see this was sent in the day before yesterday. It was at 3 a.m. You see somebody in the video. I believe he gets out of the car or minimally touches that car, has something to do with that car because the lights go on and then they fade off at the end of the video. I mean, look, this person is dressed very similar, has the backpack with the reflective light, blah, blah. My only point on this is these are the types of tips that law enforcement should at least check into. Some people might say, but Jen, why would bad Porch Guy. I call him Porch Guy. We're calling him Porch Guy from now on. Why would Porch Guy be walking around again 19 days? This was day 19. We're on day 21. Why would Porch Guy be walking around on day 19 in that neighborhood? I don't know. Might not be him. Could just be a neighbor. I'm going to look on here to see if this was resolved. I don't think it's been resolved yet. But basically, this is a tip that I would follow up on. This is a tip. Well, I'd follow up on all of it, but this is a tip I would put sort of more at the top. And I would just want to know who this guy is, because even if he's not Porch Guy, look at the hour of the night he's running around in. You know, is he a robber? Is he a thief? Is he a burglar? What is his jam? Why is he up at 3 a.m. walking around? Maybe he works shift work and he just came in from a shift. I don't know. It seems odd to me. He goes by that Mercedes. The light goes on. I don't know. But it needs to be looked into. I'm just saying these are really the type of tips that you want. Look, I got rid of the banner by putting somebody's comment up. That's what I'll do whenever I see these banners. I'll put your comments up. Thank you. Thank you, Marie. Not a comment, but a sweet donation. Thank you so much. Definitely, every little bit helps is a great thing for keeping the shows going. But nevertheless, this was a tip that I found or something I would see that I think is very important. For them to follow up on it and either interview the guy. Did he see anything odd that night? What was he doing out there? All of that. All right. I don't want to belabor that point because we've got a lot to discuss. I want to discuss, if we could, these videos. It's really, really important, everyone, that we keep these videos out here and going. Why is it important? Because people forget. As time fades, they forget about all these peculiar things about this person, which I'm going to go over super quickly. One, pinky ring. I see a pinky ring under that glove. There's a pinky ring. So this is a guy, 5'9" to 5'10". I know that 17 million people in this country actually looked up that stat of males. But nevertheless, at least we're nailed down to 17 million. He would be, I believe, from in and around the Tucson area. I think this was a local crime. I think that because, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot of YouTubers out there. And I saw something recent. I want to give him credit where it's due. JLR did something that I was hoping somebody would do. I should have called him and asked him to do it or had Inton do it, but I didn't think of it. And I say this coming from a place of somebody who's lived in one of these light pollution ordinance areas. JLR has his light on, his headlights on as he's driving, then he turns them off. It's pitch black. And I can attest to this because, as I said, in Westlake, Texas, there's an ordinance there. And you literally cannot have any light on, porch lights on, floodlights on, no lights at all at night. Because that you want to be able to walk out. And literally, when you look up at the sky, it's just, it's beautifully. It used to be. I don't know if they're still enforcing it. But when I was there, oh my gosh, the sky was just beautiful, just freckled throughout with white stars. So when you are in one of those neighborhoods, oh my gosh, you cannot see because there's no ambient light for miles. There's no ambient light. So it's like sort of being in your house in the pitch dark when you turn all your lights off. You can still kind of make things out. You can get around, especially if you know your house. But it is dark, people. And that is what law enforcement is dealing with. That is the problem with a lot of the videos that we're seeing. Why aren't they able to enhance them? Why aren't we getting good video footage, et cetera, et cetera? And I'll tell you, I strongly believe it's because of this situation. And that is the darkness we see. So I thought that was very important to point out. But again, this individual caught on camera, likely shops at Walmart. I'm not going to say 100%. Somebody could have given him that backpack and the clothes and the holster that are at least sold there. Now, the backpack is exclusively sold there. I believe this is going to be a Walmart shopper. I really do. There's just too much. So I'm leaning toward that. My needle is on that side of the continuum. So we have a Walmart shopper. He wears a pinky ring. He very uniquely grooms his eyebrows, those skinny, skinny eyebrows. Okay. And that's important because those skinny eyebrows are, and we're going to talk more about that too. Those skinny eyebrows are unique. They're groomed eyebrows. I've seen it a lot in the Latin cultures. It's in the Italian culture. I think it's much more of that sort of area of the country, European type culture, but it could also be other cultures, Middle East cultures. We don't know. But when I say we don't know what the ethnicity of this person is, but we do know they groom the heck out of their eyebrows. The other thing is they have this little slight mustache. And that's very important. Again, it's a man. It's not a woman. People want to say it's a woman. It's a man. Law enforcement has said it's a man, and they've given us the height description from what they did, the details that they looked at. So I just want to say, let's keep this out here. I'm not trying to go over too much of what we already know. I'm trying to go over the point that should be brought home, because some piece of crap, relative, friend, girlfriend, boyfriend, associate, knows who this is. I say this every time. I'm not going to belabor it. I'm going to say it one more time, and then I'm moving on. If this is your husband, your son, your dad, you know who that face is. And all the other stuff I mentioned, the pinky ring, the stature, that he wasn't around, and that he wasn't around for a while after that. Some piece of crap, or more than one, is not coming forward to law enforcement with who this is. They need to come forward. Okay, I said I'd move on. I want to talk about... talked about the new gloves, talked about the background. I wanted to talk about the fact a lot of people, a lot of pundits like myself are saying, and I want to put this picture up, that this is a burglary. And I want to thank you, Marie, for becoming a member of the channel. I appreciate it. At the very end, we'll talk merch, but I want to talk about this first, of course. Look at this house. So this is from the road. This is what a burglar would be seeing. Now, I want to talk about why I don't believe. I think the possibility of this being a burglary gone wrong is way down there, extremely low percentage. And I know if that ends up the case, everybody's going to say, see, she was wrong. Well, I'm sticking with my guns on this. This is why. Burglars do not enter homes with full backpacks. Hey, that's one of my reasons. They want to take small things. They want to take money. They want to take jewels. They want to take watches. They want to take things that they can easily go in and out. They are not in for 41 minutes, people. They run in and run out. That's why they call them cat burglars. They're burglars. They break, enter, get their stuff, and leave. Okay. Number two. The last thing they want is to burgle when somebody's there. That's why the higher percentage of burglaries occur during the daytime, where they've cased the place and they know no one's there. The other thing is it's so much easier to see. They don't have obstacles. It's easy to get in and out. You might say, no, they want to hide behind the cover of darkness. No, actually, really, they want to be able to see, and they want to go in when people aren't there. She was there. And I think they knew she was there. The other thing is burglars, people commit burglaries, do not take 84-year-old grandmas with medical problems. They don't take anybody. Find a case for me where a burglar took the person. I can't find one in my experience for sure. talking to any of my colleagues, I can't find one. I could, you know, and I'm sure somebody will hear, and I might, when I have some spare time, just completely, you know, search this to death and see how many instances there are of literally a burglar, somebody that's all they have on their rap sheet, that's all they're known for, that went in and abducted an 84-year-old. Let's see if we can ever find that. I don't think we're going to find it. The other thing is, look at what they're looking at. They do not want to enter a home like this. And remember, like JLR's picture, pitch black, it's pitch black. So now you're navigating all of this in the pitch black. This isn't a random burglary. They took an 84-year-old woman. They went in with a full backpack. I've said this, if you look back on day early on, over 2 weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago, very early on, I said, people said, what's in that backpack? I said, that backpack had a hood for her. It's something to obscure her face because they were going to put her in a car, which I think is parked there because the blood trail ends and he didn't, you know, throw up on his back with the backpack and shimmy out of this neighborhood with her. No, no, no. He had her. I still think he carried her. I think she was down kind of low to the ground like this as those drops came out of her, either off the side of her face, if he slapped her or something like that, or maybe even one of her arms that was down at the side. And then that those drops hit multiple times when he turned back to shut the door, because we know the door was shut. And so that's why you see that spatter and that little pattern that you could imagine him being like this with her and then pulling that door shut. I think more than one is involved. I've always said that. It was funny, Cheryl McCollum, who I love, her main area of expertise is crime scene. We talked a lot about whether that blood, she felt it was like nose or facial blood. I didn't really have that strong of an opinion other than I thought it was droplets. And she thought perhaps she sneezed or coughed or something that caused that spatter. She has certainly done more crime scenes than me. I just really believe, based on where it was, that he turned and that was that. And, you know, we both had a good discussion on that. I could see it going either way, and so could she. But this isn't a place you burglarize. This is a place you go and you know. You also don't burglarize places with cameras. Whenever I teach a site survey class, or I should say a class how to maintain the security of your property, one of the first thing I put up on the thing is, you know, surprise, you're on candid camera, or your place is covered by cameras, or ADT sign in the yard, which I have all over my yard. I want everybody to see it. No matter what side of the yard they come on, they're going to see I'm protected by ADT and that I have cameras. I want them to see that. I think I shared a few days ago, I guess it's been a week now, exactly. I think it was last Saturday, that our neighbor had their expensive bike stolen. And, you know, I wondered if we would have anything stolen because there is a bike that is off to the left that a friend who's staying with us anyway, he leaves his bike there. And his bike was there. And I truly believe it's because everybody sees the ADT signs and everybody sees the cameras. And they're like, you know what? I think I'm going to go to this house. And that's what people do. How do I know that? I know that from interviewing these people. All these years of interviewing violent crime, bad guys, gangbangers, with what their decision making is. And it's not difficult. They would do what you and I would do. You don't want to go where there are dogs and you don't want to go where there are cameras. This person went there where there was a camera. That's not what a burglar does. Did I miss any other points on the whole burglary thing? A burglar doesn't spend 30, 40 minutes in the house with her. No, 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 no. Isn't a burglary gone wrong? If a burglar happens in around people, you know what they do? They run as fast as they can, as fast as they can get out of there. There was a burglary. I want to talk about this one. When I lived in the Virgin Islands, we lived in an area that had about 10 houses. And at this time, it wasn't gated. It's gated now. It wasn't gated. There was a gate there, but we never closed it. So it was useless. It was always open. But you would absolutely not just wander down there accidentally. You would have to know this area and be from this area. when I say this area, you'd have to know the Virgin Islands and under, I mean, there's no, not even street signs there. Like you just turn right at the rock. I lived there for 4 years, you know, go up the hill and you see the pink fence, take a right. That's where I live. Take a pink fence, the pink fence and take a right in the next opening by the hurricane ruin that was on the corner. Anyway, in our neighborhood, and actually this is a really sad and tragic story. Robbers, burglars broke in while these individuals were gone, husband and wife, they were gone. Makes all the sense in the world. They break in and they're putting things in their car. And then the husband and wife, you know, come upon them. And the burglars are like, oh my God, they drop everything, jump in their car and they take off. Unfortunately, the owner of the house, the male, he told his wife, call 911, and he took off after them. The number one thing not ever to do, ever, ever, ever. He took off after them, followed them. It's really easy to follow people in the Virgin Islands because there's basically one road. And but there's no lights. It's really dark. He takes off. He follows them, and they pull over. If you can believe it, they pull over. He wants his things back. He's angry. He's on the phone with law enforcement. You know, here we are. We're right at the pink fence. We're at the other side of the pink fence. He comes up onto that car, and they shoot him in the face and kill him. It's a terrible, terrible, tragic story. And it's really to drive home the point. First of all, if anybody takes your things, let them take them. It doesn't matter. And second of all, burglars want to steal when you're not there. There's nothing about this case that tells me this is a random burglary gone wrong. Nothing. From my experience. And I could be wrong. This could be an outlier. But I want to put that out there. I know it's flying around. I'm not buying it. Let's see. I want to make sure I don't miss anything else. Oh, yes. This is important. There's two more things. I always like to keep these lives short and get straight to the point. So sorry if I'm talking too long. This guy, I talked about him because I wanted to point out there's so much confusion. Who's in the Range Rover? Who was at the house? Whose mom was there? Well, it's this guy and the mom whose house was searched. Okay, I'm going to say it that way. Whose house was searched. We know that. You can see his lawyer makes the statement. And for the first time, we know for sure he was detained and then let go. Do I believe this guy is involved in this? I really don't have any information to believe this guy's involved in it. What I do believe could very much be involved in this. This needle of mine, so if here's the needle, it's pretty over here, is the Range Rover. Now he's connected to that Range Rover, but how is he, isn't he, I mean, he's loosely connected to the Range Rover because I believe he bought the Range Rover in close connection after the crime was committed. So it's really, is the more important person the person who had it before the crime was committed? Of course, that's the person that might be of interest if indeed that Range Rover is connected. So I'm gonna keep waiting for absolute, and I have two pieces of evidence already. I've got a CarMax report and I've got admissions from the seller that he's made online, but I'm just waiting because I don't want to feed something that still is not related. But the fact that they tarped this is really important, everyone, because you do not tarp the back of that car when you're in the middle of getting it ready to go on the flatbed, unless there's something in there that you don't want the YouTubers and the witnesses and the onlookers to see. What is that in my experience? It's usually blood. Not saying it's blood. I'm just saying in my experience, when I don't want something to see or when I found something in the car that is problematic and you open it up, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You tarp it. Now, does that really make a lot of sense though? If this car was recently sold, blah, 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 blah. Wouldn't they have cleaned that up? Yeah. Could it just have been a stain? Could it have been something else completely different from that. Yes. But it was something, all we know is this for sure. It was something they did not want YouTubers and the public to see. Beyond that, we don't know what that was. We just really don't. So I'm not going to speculate. I did want to give you that analogy from my personal experience, but that does not mean that matches up here. I'm just saying that that makes sense. But I can't imagine somebody would buy a car with a big stain that resembled blood. So it could very likely in this case be something else, but something, trust me, law enforcement did not want you to see. All right. Let me see where I am on all my pictures here. All right, guys, I'm getting ready to give you and it's funny because if anybody pulls us, you know, I have a TikTok and Instagram account, but I don't use it. Only when I have an intern, I have them run that account, those two accounts. So there's nothing that I'm going to have posted for over a year because that was my last intern. The only reason I bring this up is because everybody keeps telling me I'm on TikTok and IG and I'm like, what? No, I'm not posting anything on there, and I don't even look at it. But apparently perhaps other people are, and I am going to be getting both of those accounts up and going again. Somebody on the team that I'm working with that's going to get that up and going because I think it's important. And I don't know what else is out there that other people are posting in mine or what they're saying, but I'm going to preface this right now because this could come up. I could see people grabbing out what I'm going to say right now, not out of context. Again, I'm an Occam's razor, follow the facts, and they typically lead. But there are some cases, there are certainly some outliers that, like Brian Koberger, that, as you all know, I followed that very, very closely, that have unusual facts that lead to individual perpetrators. So I've talked about this a little. I'm going to talk about it now. So a couple of things. First, I find it very interesting, and I'm just going to touch on each item, and then I'm going to weave it all together. As you know, Savannah Guthrie had her mom on the Today Show more than once. And these beautiful pictures came out. And she also did this whole story, which I posted about this whole story about Tucson and growing up there and, you know, her family, and they meet at this Mexican restaurant. I mean, she's had Mama Nancy has had a lot of exposure in terms of her ties with Savannah Guthrie. So it wasn't like anyone who followed Savannah would not have seen her mom and her sister, right? Because they were brought into the limelight. And I'm not judging that. I often talk, not often, but every once in a while, I sprinkle something about my daughter. Sometimes more loosely about my son. It's just my daughter is in the middle of law school. So, you know, it aligns more with true crime. But anyway, Savannah Guthrie, it's reported, this is reported by News Nation, and very specifically that she is thinking about not going back to the Today Show because of all of this and what's happened and the exposure and probably, quite frankly, the terror that she feels for. I mean, I can't imagine the 24 surveillance right now. I would have it on my kids. I don't even know if I'd have them going to school, quite frankly, maybe going there, but escorted, dropped off, picked up. I would have them completely under my vision. Same with my husband. He's gone to Tucson. As far as I know, he's still there. And they've made arrangements for somebody to care for the children, for those people who wanted to, you know, say something bad about her husband not coming. Come on. The children needed to be cared for and needed to have somebody close to them, not just a nanny, at a time like this where their mom is grieving, concerned, where their grandmother, who they knew is missing. They needed to have the father there. So for those judging that, it's just, again, more terrorizing of this family that drives me crazy. But I'm a victim's advocate. So of course that's going to drive me crazy. Nevertheless, he goes to Tucson. But she's thinking about leaving the show because of all of this. And I combine that with the fact that her pleas, multiple pleas, and maybe next time I'll just do a segment. If you guys, if I see in the comments, you guys would like this, just a segment on the five communications from the family and kind of breaking those down. And I'll have on, I'm going to have a profiler on very soon, by the way, somebody who expertise, what he does for a living right now is recreate crime scenes. And then he's also a behavioral analyst and has been for 20 years. I've had him on once before. He worked with SLED, you know, the South Carolina division of law enforcement there. So I think I'm going to have him on because I think he'd be really good at this. Nevertheless, I digress a little bit. I'm going to talk to him too about my theory here, but when you combine that with the things Savannah has said on camera and her pleadings, it's not too late. Things, overarching concepts, I'll say it that way because I have not read the book. Overarching concepts from her book. This is the kids' version and there's an adult version. Overarching about redemption and it's not too late and words to that effect. There's another, I think, exact phrase. There's one exact phrase she used and then one that was overarching. But I find it so familiar. Don't you guys, when you listen to how she talks, not in the first one, but in the ones thereafter. They're so familiar how she talks, almost like, you know, pleading with them. Obviously, we've talked about the silence of the lambs, that they decided to use that, which was worse to the effect of, she's nice, she's kind, talk to her and you'll see, literally verbatim, the talk to her and you'll see piece, which, you know, the behavioral analysis unit, I've talked about this, they have a profile on who they think did this. And I think they think it's somebody really messed up inside that might possibly be able to be pled to in this sort of personal way of saying, listen, you know, it's not too late for you. It's okay. You know, come forward, or somebody involved in this, right? Because, you know, I still believe there's more than one person involved. Okay. So you combine that. And now I'm going to take this with the fact that bad guy, no, porch guy, I'm not calling him bad guy anymore. I'm calling him porch guy. I started that a couple of days ago. Porch guy, instead of grabbing, and actually Cheryl and I have talked about the rock theory before. Most bad guys, if you want to disable the camera, you're going to have something you put over it, like a cloth or a handkerchief or your hand or another glove over that camera lens. Or, and this is difficult to do, with these cameras, they're sort of made so they're not supposed to be easily destructible. Actually, Megyn Kelly did a great demonstration on that. She beat me to it because you know how I love demonstrations. She grabbed a hammer and was like hammering the Nest camera. And it was very, very strong and resistant of being beat. So would a rock have worked? Probably not, actually. But most bad guys are going to have something to cover that camera. But he nonchalantly goes back and pulls these vines, these viney flowers. Stay with me here now. I'm just wondering, and obviously he's trying to conceal his face, but he already feels like his face is pretty concealed, right? I mean, he's concealed. Does that have any other meaning? I posted a video because I think it's significant. Savannah grew up in this house. This is where her family was raised. And in this video, it's just a short. I posted it on YouTube and it's on Twitter also. This quick, you know, the shorts that start kind of with this rainbow, and then it zips right into the actual message. And they're less than a minute long, but it's a picture of basically Savannah being raised at home with her mom. And they're sitting right on this right next to the stoop. You can see the bricks and you can see this viney, viney vegetation that she has there right there. And I don't know. Why'd he grab that? Did it have significance? Was this a message? It's also interesting to me, and this is why I pulled this picture I wanted you to see. You would think he would drop the whole thing right after whatever use he had for it. Okay, I want you to see this. I want you to see this. I'm going to go back and forth a little bit. Okay. And then I'm going to show the video too. I think I have the video where he walks up with it. Yep, right there. Pretty big piece. I'm just asking the question is, and again, this is something I'm going to be considering if I'm behind the scenes. Is that all of it? Maybe it is. Maybe some of it blue. I could tell some of it blue because I see a leaf that's on top of the blood. And I believe that that would have blown. Did he bring that in there? Did he bring that in the house? Does it have some significance? Again, this is my non-Occam's razor thought process, because if I'm trying to figure out this case, I'm trying to solve the motive, because the motive will typically lead you to the who. So basically I'm working backwards, right? I don't think this was a Mexican cartel, and I went into great length to discuss why. I don't think this is a burglary gone bad, and I went into great lengths to discuss why. This is not related to the family staging this and doing all of this for an inheritance or for life insurance. That's off the table. What are we left with, everyone? We are left with somebody that did this to either hurt and torment Savannah and the family and Nancy, something very personal, as a possibility. As a possibility. So I'm going down this road a little bit. And so I'm just wondering, do you think all those flowers are there? Maybe they are. Maybe they blew away. Even if they are, which I'm not sure they are. I'm not sure they're not, but I'm not sure they are. Why flowers? It's making no sense to me that he's got a backpack full of his kit that he needs to commit this crime. And he didn't have anything to cover that lens, or that he didn't just choose to use his hand and then take the screwdriver and undo the Nest camera. All right. I don't know. It just seems familiar. I don't know. If I'm off, I'm off. This is just one road I would be thinking about. Yeah. It's basically it. We are on day 21. Oh, I also want to thank Shauna. Thank you so much. $9.99, I believe. Poor Miss Nancy was gone before he left the home with her. This is weird. And someone close to her done this. You know what, Shauna, we definitely agree on one thing. And that is someone familiar with Nancy, with Savannah, with this house, with Tucson, with this particular area, I think is involved. So, you know, somebody that has a revenge, has an issue, wanted to harm this family, is involved for whatever maniacal reason. We agree on that. That neighborhood is a labyrinth. It is not easy to get in and out of, meaning there's multiple ways. You'd have to know where you're going, and you're in the pitch black. It's not a burglary gone bad. This is something way worse. It's my opinion. Unless more information comes out, that's my opinion for now. Are the book, which by the way, I pointed this out before, both books are sold at Walmart. Just saying. Which I couldn't believe when I saw that. just saying, there's something very familiar with all of this, the way her messages are. Oh, everybody, let me know if you want me to do the next segment with an update, but then also if there anybody wants me to go over her five or the pleas from beginning to end and sort of analyze them with a behavioral analysis person. And then I'm going to go over that crime scene with him too. I'm hoping he'll come on and do that with me. This is an interesting question. Do I think that the porch guy has a mental deficiency or developmental disorder? You know, look, a lot of criminals, they actually really do. When I say that, I mean, a lot of times, not in all cases, I've seen some very smart gangbangers. I'm going to talk in the realm 6 years working gangs and interviewing, being around, investigating their crimes, watching their murderous and violent ways, people involved in gangs. And I can tell you, I've met some of the smartest people I've ever met that are in gangs. Absolutely so smart. And then I have met people that unfortunately, definitely, you know, their mom was likely on the rock when they were conceived, because it's tough and they're not all there. And the problem is that people who commit crimes like this, being able to have the wherewithal to go in and snatch an 84-year-old, a lot of people, you're looking really at one or two types, in my opinion. You're looking at either the sort that is so evil that they enjoy doing things like this, you know, sadistically torturing somebody. And now, why do I say that? You're going to say, Jen, we don't have any information that she was tortured. Thank you, Linda Glacken. Thank you so much for becoming a member. Listen, no, we don't know she was tortured, but think about you, much less an 84-year-old woman with a heart condition that wouldn't be terrorized with somebody looking like that guy coming in their house. That's torture. That's torture right there. Even if he does nothing to her, wondering what this person is going to do to me and the amount of time he spent in there. Everyone, this is something more maniacal. This isn't a burglar looking for rings and an Apple Watch, which he didn't even take, by the way. As far as we know, nothing was taken. In fact, I need to find that footage. I think that's what Sheriff even says. And by the way, two things can be true at the same time. Someone can, you know, have a lot of issues, talking about the sheriff, and then at the same time, deliver some messages that are true. It's kind of figuring all that out. But back to a guy like this. He's either one of the types that is so wrecked on the inside because of how he's been treated, how things that have done where he has no empathy anymore, and he has absolutely no problem with breaking and entering into a house where there's an 84-year-old woman, physically taking her, possibly doing something far worse than we want to discuss here, considering the amount of time, and certainly torturing her mentally and emotionally just by being there. So when I say torture, that's what I mean. I don't mean waterboarding. I am talking about the torturous situation that was created by him breaking in her house that she'd lived in for about 50 years, thinking she was safe in there, thinking it was her castle. I always say that when you can go into white mode, you know, I talk about white, yellow, orange, red. When you can go into white mode is when you have your house locked up, got your cameras, and you're alone in your bed. That's when you should be able to relax and go, I don't even have to really care about my surroundings and look at what he did. So yes, he tortured her, 100% tortured her. He was there for too long for this to be considered anything other than a torturous type of situation. So you either have that sort, because there's a lot of those sadistic people out there. For any of you who have seen books like written by, I think there was a book written or watched any shows related to the true, of Gravano, who was, you know, worked for the mob, or any of those. And actually, I'm thinking about having a guy on. We're going to invite him on. I had a lengthy criminal history. Listen, there's people that no empathy. I posted a while back a video of a kid. He looks like he's 9 years old, maybe. I'm just guessing, but right in there, preteen, chasing around a duck in Florida on his porch. And he gets that duck and he just tortures him and murders that duck with his bare hands, beats the duck, murders the duck. That person has serious, serious problems. And they're just a kid. They're just a kid. That's the sort of mentality that once you have that, you can't get rid of it. You can't be fixed. You can't. Once you like little girls and little boys, you can't get rid of it. You can't get rid of it. It's impossible. And they will tell you. They'll tell you. There's no, you know, the chances of you being turned on by a little kid is the same chance of them not being turned on by a little kid. So you have some people like that. Then you have the other set of people that are mentally deficient. They really, really just, you know, they are not just below average in IQ, they are well below average in IQ. And those people, unfortunately, are very easily manipulated, controlled, want to be accepted, told what to do, things like that. So it also could be that situation. But nevertheless, I think whoever Porch Guy is, if he's not the one that's holding the grudge and holding the hate and holding the issue that I think could have likely motivated this, then I do believe he is the one that did this. And I think there was definitely money involved. So this wouldn't have just been for kicks and giggles. I think this would have also been money on the table. Everyone, I have kept you far too long. I never do this. These are normally 20 minutes and we are at an hour. My gosh. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. I appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for all who became members. Thank you for all the mods on here. Yes, an abduction that maybe did end up going bad, but it was always an abduction. That's my opinion at this time. Everyone, until next time, I appreciate each and every one of you. Wear your yellow. Somebody might ask, and you might end up educating somebody about this case that never knew, that ended up knowing or seeing something, especially if you live in that Arizona area. Until next time, may justice be served for Nancy. And let me put her picture up there instead of the bad guy picture. May justice be served for Nancy.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.